Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy. This is our show today, November 15, 2014. And I'm really grateful to have on the show today Dr. Tom Palladino. And we're going to be going into scalar energy for healing, scalar energy in general, the understanding of scalar energy, and what Tom's been doing with it as a researcher the last 20, 25 years, I understand. And Tom is, Dr. Tom Palladino is a naturopath, been a scalar energy researcher who has gone into the use of scalar energies for healing. This is an important part of quantum science. I have a little background in that. So we're going to be going into this new science of the energy field and scalar energy in particular, what that is and how that works, and what Dr. Palladino has developed with scalar equipment that cleans up the body of parasites and can actually work with the body to construct as well as nutrients in the body as well as deconstruct microbial pathogens in the body. So we're going to go into that. Tom, thank you for being on the show with us today.
Splendid to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation, Doctor.
You're welcome. I'm grateful for what you're doing. I've been following. I try to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on with quantum medicine, scalar energy, different technologies in this regard. I think what you're doing in this regard is amazing. It's indicative of, I know what's going on around the world. Russians have been working with this scalar energy for even before the U.S. I remember Dr. Tom Bearden, Lieutenant Colonel Tom Bearden, back in the mid-70s, his book Fertile Lands. Did you ever see that book?
I have. I can't say I've read it, but I do respect Dr. Bearden and his work. Good for him.
It was. He was one of the pioneers in it. He considered himself one of the Dirty Dozen of about 10 scientists in the Western world that understood scalar electromagnetics. And of course, that was mid-70s, and we never heard much about it. There was some stuff that came out about psychotronic weapon systems that were being developed by the Soviets back then. And of course, Bearden was working with was working with the military back then in regarding this understanding of scalar. And it's come a long way since then. There's a lot of energy field stuff been going on in the meantime. It's very controversial. We hear about it with weapon systems, we hear about it with HARP, and we hear about energy systems, you know, with all kinds of regards. But we don't very often hear about it with healing. Most people don't. I've been following it, and I know there's an awful lot going on with quantum science right now, the quantum field. I had one author on this show, Tom, Lynn McTaggart. She's quite renowned internationally as a speaker, and she had a book called, one called The Field and one called The Bond. You know, this connecting through the space between us, and she gets in this quantum space, quantum reality, and what's going on in the collective consciousness of the planet. And this is one thing I thought I'd bring up in the beginning, because she talked about on the show, and this is, what, about a year ago or 2 years ago? I don't remember, but it's in the archives. People want to look it up. And it was a fascinating show because she talked about the energy field, you know, of the Earth. And our consciousness is all a function of this. You know, of course, our bodies are all, we're all in this, you know, quantum field, the energy field. You know, it's all energy, as Einstein said. And she got into how the left and right hemisphere of the Earth corresponds to the left and right hemispheres, you know, the energy field, the brain field. The left and right hemispheres of the brain. And this was fascinating to me because she got into explaining the example of that and how in Western world, we read from left to right with symbols, you know, words and letters and letters that form words. In the Orient, in the East, in China, Japan, they read calligraphy from right to left because they're right brain dominant. Western Hemisphere is left brain dominant, and it has to deal with the fields of the entire Earth. You know, there's this quantum field that actually is like the coding, you might say, the energy. It's like the cultural DNA that's in the field. It actually corresponds to the hemispheres of her brain and how language developed in the East. Since they're right brain dominant, it was from right to left they read. And as language developed in the West, it was from left to right with a different symbol system. Isn't that fascinating?
Yes, it really is, and there's a lot to that. I'm sure there's validity to that, of course.
And, I mean, that's one proving of it. I just wanted to relate that there's a lot of science out there that's dealing with energy fields within our body and in our minds that we're just, you know, that's just coming out. It's really mind-blowing. Of course, we're not taught this. We're not taught about left brain dominant and right brain dominant, and, of course, good brain switching and what that means as far as the creative people that are well-balanced. I wanted to open it up with that because what we're getting into is a subject that is really foreign to a lot of people, although I'm sure there's some people on the show that really want to get into the nuts and bolts of what you're doing. And why don't you go into that a little bit?
I will. And without further ado, thank you, Doctor, for the invitation. My name is Tom Palladino. And for, I would say, the greater part of my life, people, I have been studying scalar energy. I thought the world of it when I first studied Tesla. I knew Nikola Tesla, was onto something incredible. And I believed Tesla, as the forerunner, as the pioneer in this field, really set the tone. In many ways, I try to model myself and imitate Tesla, if I can be so bold to say that.
Well, I hope you channel him sometime.
I obviously do pray to him. I hope that he intercedes on my behalf. I'm sure he is.
Well, you understand the quantum reality of, you know, your prayers connect you vibrationally with him.
Yes. Yeah, every prayer is a broadcast of scalar energy.
It is.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. So let's define our terms before we begin. Scalar energy, well, what is that? Well, there's two energies in the universe. There is the electromagnetic energy force field and the scalar energy force field. I work with scalar energy. Well, can I describe it? Of course. Scalar energy is a double helix. It takes on a phi proportion. You could actually see that the expression of phi, P-H-I now, phi is embodied in each scalar wave. So essentially, we are looking at a double helix, if you will. It's as if two corkscrews were intertwined. That is a scalar wave. And scalar energy originates from the stars of the universe. It's my contention that all energy originates as scalar energy. That is the essence of the universe, that broadcast of scalar energy. In some environments, including this Earth, in some environments, scalar energy can degrade into electricity and magnetism. And it's very simple as to what happens. The double helix, the two corkscrews, if you will serve to decouple, will serve to break apart. And in so doing, one corkscrew, if you will, one phase becomes electricity and the other becomes magnetism. It's as simple as that. We really have a very simple universe. No. Hence, you can take scalar energy and convert it into electromagnetic energy, and in reverse, you can take electromagnetic energy and convert it back into scalar energy. Scalar energy is the preferred energy of the universe. It is perfect, and by that I mean it carries an infinite number of instructions. Scalar energy is a carrier wave, if you will. It carries information. It carries intelligence.
Like a laser beam that can be a carrier wave for thousands of radio and TV and phone telephone signals.
Thank you. And what are we doing with radio and TV? Well, we're communicating. We're carrying intelligence. Well, likewise, you can do that with scalar energy. I've come to observe in my laboratory, and this has been proven repeatedly, scalar energy does not experience any type of weakening. So it is not experiencing entropy. Scalar energy, hence, is a perpetual energy. I'll repeat that. Scalar energy never degrades. It is perpetual. So what we have in our grasp is an infinite supply of energy from the stars, an energy that does not experience any attenuation over time or distance. Hence, it is a perpetual energy, an energy that does not have any pollution to it, certainly no radioactivity or any type of soot or degradation. We have the perfect essence. In my estimation, my belief, it's the direct manifestation from the Creator. Scalar energy is directly from the Creator.
In the beginning, there was light.
In the beginning, there was light. And that light was scalar energy. And it's my firm belief that if God had his druthers, there would only be scalar energy. Well, in a theological standpoint, with the fall of Adam and Eve, we had the degradation of scalar energy into electromagnetic energy. But that was never the divine plan. God's plan was only to have this perfect energy, scalar energy.
It's radiant energy is what you call it sometimes. Is that
yes.
Radiant versus... If I understand, there's three energy fields: right dynamic, round magnetic, and radiant energy fields throughout in the field that are fractally integrated, you know, in the throughout the universe. Is that
right?
Am I on the?
Leon, let's follow up on that.
Okay.
Radiant energy was a term that Tesla used frequently. Some people today call it scalar energy. That is in vogue today. Other names are chi or prana. Today, also, zero-point energy is used in a familiar setting. Pyramid energy, some people call it orgone energy. Now, all of those terms are synonymous, as far as I'm concerned, and mm-hmm. they point to this subtle essence, which is an energy besides that of the electromagnetic spectrum. So what we're posturing tonight is that, again, there are two energies in the universe, but if you go to any major university today or college and open up a physics textbook, you're only going to learn about electromagnetic energy.
Right.
You'll be fortunate to find half a paragraph in serious consideration of scalar energy. And that's a shame because modern-day man has missed the boat, frankly. We've missed it entirely.
It's the mechanics model versus the quantum model.
Exactly. Now, in no way do I want to start disputing we've learned about the electromagnetic spectrum. Much of that is true and accurate. Our contention tonight is, again, there's another energy that is even more versatile, that is even more promising than that of electricity. Again, imagine an energy that does not experience entropy. There's no weakening of its signal over time or distance. So hence, what we're looking at is a source of power, scalar energy, that is infinite. It's never-ending, so we never have to deal with scarcity in our economic model.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's a perfect energy that carries an infinite number of instructions. Hence, you can never overload the system, nor will the system ever fail to deliver information. In other words, scalar energy can propagate throughout the universe, carry information throughout the expanse of the universe, never attenuating its signal, never losing its signal, and always delivering that information in perfect order, in perfect harmony.
You know, that perfect harmony, sometimes referred to the harmony of the spheres. I had a doctor on the show, you know, a couple years ago who spoke on astroacoustics of the stars and how they have the different frequencies that are coded, you know, harmonic frequencies. And he had samples, audio samples. He has a whole CD of them, these different stars, you know, and their sounds that they make with astroacoustics, you know, the frequency that's coded in them, which is, again, an example of what you're talking about.
Exactly. So let's expand upon that. That's a great point. There was a great Russian astrophysicist, Nikolai Kozarev. And Kozarev, in his day, discovered that stars did indeed emanate scalar energy. So the Russians call it torsion energy. Well, he went as far as to say that the stars are responsible for the flow of time. It's a profound thought, but it is all incorporated in scalar energy. In other words, scalar energy is responsible for time. Scalar energy is a double helix. If you rotate that double helix in a certain fashion, time moves forward. If scalar energy rotates in the opposite direction, time is in reverse. Time moves back. So scalar energy is indeed responsible for time. We've never been able to understand time.
That's
the cause of time is scalar energy. And it's the simple rotation of that double helix that determines whether you move forward in time or you move back in time.
An example of that I know of is the researcher at the Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, where they're doing quantum computing, and of course they've been able to go back and forward in time with their looking glass technology, they call it. And they've had this technology for years, where they do exactly that with the scale, and they use the scalar. And that's apparently what they're doing. The reverse spin and the forward and reverse in time. It's all relative, and of course, they've been, you know, this has been around. I've had actually several people on the show talked about this, and to me it's really fascinating, but it's a proving of what you're talking about.
Of course it is. Let me try and make this very simple to our listening audience. Let's say you have a roll of paper towels. If you were to unfold, roll that paper towel out, over the course of time, you would see time would move forward. Well, then roll that paper towel back, and time would move back. It's just as simple as that. Well, if you can do that with a paper towel, then you can do that with the rotation of a scalar wave. So getting back to this brilliant man, Nikolai Kozarev, he frequently referred to the flow of time as being incorporated in the stars. That is, the stars, the propagators of scalar energy, are responsible for time itself. Time is a function of scalar energy. The cause of time is scalar energy. Hence, we're finally understanding this space-time continuum. Well, if we're working in a scalar energy force field, time is always in the present, and the space is always one point. What do I mean by that? Well, in scalar energy, there is no past, there is no future. The universe, as a scalar energy hologram, can communicate with itself instantaneously. Hence, there's no attenuation of signal. And secondly, with scalar energy, it is one gigantic matrix that works together as one cell, as one unit. Hence, when you're working in this holographic universe by way of scalar energy, there's no impediment as far as distance. Everything is interconnected. It's called the quantum entanglement of the universe, or the concatenation of the universe. Mm-hmm. To make it very simple, the entire universe is connected with scalar energy. And scalar energy is always in the present moment, and there is no distance that cannot be surmounted by scalar energy.
So it's kind of the instant, everywhere, interactive dynamic that we're seeing with the global internet. I mean, there's no time or space anymore.
Exactly.
And that's, I really think that 2014 is the year where these kind of concepts they're going mainstream with whether it's a critical mass or just the sufficient mass to basically create a wave with the internet now going global. I mean, the genie's out of the bottle. People are waking up all over the world to these realities that the people that are really searching for truth and on the internet, it's evolving in this direction very quickly.
Yes.
And I've been seeing it more and more to where people coming to an understanding of this and talking about it in a very congruent way like you are. And it fascinates me to hear you verbalizing it so clearly. I know this has been one of your fortes on the numerous talk shows that you've been doing, radio talk shows. And by the way, you're doing a show now? You're co-hosting a show on BBS Radio also?
I am. That's correct.
When is that?
On Monday night by popular demand. Monday night, which would be 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Fantastic. And
yes,
hope people take note of that. You're very the clear speaker on this subject, and making the complex simple is something that always, to me, speaks of spiritual practicality.
Yes, indeed. Well, the universe is simple. God is simple, and accordingly, the universe is simple. God does not need to create a complicated universe. Everything that God does is simple. We indeed have a simple universe. The creation, again, to underscore, is simple. Now, what creation can do is profound, and the permutations that ensue are infinite, obviously. But at its core, at its very essence, at that foundational level, the universe is simple. This is how simple it is. The stars of the universe are responsible for propagating scalar energy. Scalar energy serves as the instructions for the universe, and nothing precedes light. Light, scalar light, are the instructions for the universe. They serve as the carrier wave for all intelligence. Hence,
the carrier wave for intelligence. That's what I was waiting for you to say.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, now, that's a subject, and the carrier wave again. Back to the subject of the understanding of that. How scalar wave, how light energy can be a carrier wave for intelligence. We know the same technology with fiber optics, that through lasers and fiber optics, it's a carrier wave, like I said, for thousands of TV, radio, and telephone messages at the same time.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So if scalar energy serves as the intelligence of the universe, and it is indeed the carrier wave as such, then all spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical activity owe their beginning to that of scalar energy. That is, scalar energy is the animating principle. Now, follow me, people. Scalar energy is the first cause, the animating principle for all spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical activity.
Because it's all energy.
Yes.
It's all energy, and the coding goes from more of the etheric, spiritual, to the less etheric to the mental, and the energy in motion, the emotion, is energy that's more physical. And, of course, the physical matter, we all know that it's composed of energy. Which brings me to the question when you're talking about this intelligence from the stars and deep space and how that resonates through the magnetics and the scalar energies of the planet and the field around the planet and the field that resonates around the planet within the the energy field, the brain field within our brain. Does this explain astrology?
It really does.
That's what I thought.
it does. Now, I'm going to say this, first of all, to preface my remarks. I'm a Christian, and I don't believe anybody can accurately predict the stars, because there's an infinite number of stars, and those stars are capable, likewise, of an infinite number of harmonics or instructions. So for anybody to have the dubious claim that they can predict star behavior and how the intelligence from those myriad of stars is serving to send carrier waves throughout the universe, that's rather presumptuous.
Yeah, well, but the three wise men were astrologers. Christ through astrology.
Yes, they were. Now, there is a science to astrology. And yes, once again, if the stars are indeed propagating scalar energy, which serves as the intelligence of the universe, then yes, we understand that the stars are the sources of information, are the sources of intelligence throughout the universe.
And the groupings of the stars create different fields. It's like in the hemispheres of the brain, there's different fields. And in the different quadrants of the universe, there's different fields.
Yes.
And how they are stepped down through planetary fields and through Earth's fields and the sun, the sun and moon and all these different influences in the ecliptic of our solar system, and that field of our solar system within the Milky Way galaxy in the 25,000, 920-year cycle of the precession of the equinox, all these fields within fields.
Yeah.
Of course, we're in a peaking of that field right now. That's what this whole 2012 thing was about. It's a 10-year thing before and after. And matter of fact, a lot of people are saying that 2014, it's finally, it peaked in 2012, but it's just starting to really register now.
yes, thank you. And people are seeing that. They're seeing that this dimension does exist. And going back to astrology, well, how is astrology possible? Only by way of scalar energy. Scalar energy is intelligent energy. The stars are always, on a continuous basis, broadcasting scalar energy. Now, in the future, will we be able to decipher this code and to understand it? Well, we will. But first, you have to acknowledge that scalar energy exists in order to understand it and move it from theory to practice. Yeah. Well, that's where we're going next. So, yes, there is a science to astrology. There is a science to the rhythm of the universe. There has to be.
The thing about astronomy is they took God out of the heavens. Astrology is that it makes it personal, you know, that it's all related to, you know, basically the creator.
Okay. Yeah. So let me follow up with this brilliant man, Nikolai Kozarev.
Okay.
Kozarev, again, is a brilliant Russian scalar energy researcher. He postured that the stars of the universe at its very center are cool and hollow. And I agree with him. All of our stars at the very center are relatively cool and hollow. There is no thermonuclear reaction at the center of our stars. And you might ask, well, how can that be? The center of every star, including the sun of our universe, is a sublime scalar energy force field.
It's a torus field, isn't it?
Yes, it is. There is only scalar energy at the center of our star, of our sun, of our solar system, or any star for that matter in the solar system. It is relatively cool, and it is indeed hollow. So you can divorce yourself of this false notion that the stars are producing these atomic bomb explosions all the time, which is just absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
Now, this is the new way of looking at the universe. You cannot explain the universe exclusively by way of electromagnetic energy. To the contrary, you need scalar energy and your understanding of scalar energy to understand the primordial essence of the universe, which is scalar energy. Again, all energy begins as scalar energy in the universe. All stars originate this energy at the very center. It is God, the creator, who is creating scalar energy, and he appoints the stars as the launching pad, if you will, as the means to propagate this energy throughout the universe.
But atoms are also like miniature stars, from what I understand, with a torus field resonance with the white fire core of the great central sun, our sun, and all other suns.
Yes, it's simply a fractal, that's all.
It's a fractal.
The principle of self-similarity, of course. So, in synopsis, what am I saying? All energy, all light originates from God, and God appoints the stars as the means to propagate that light. At the very center of every star in the universe is a scalar energy environment. It is purely, entirely scalar energy. As such, at the very center of every star, it's relatively cool. You could live in the center of a star. It's once that energy manifests and is broadcasted out that it starts to break down into electromagnetic energy, and then it becomes very hot. And then it becomes, the properties obviously are, it's very hot and it gives off a great deal of light. But at the center of the stars, there is no thermonuclear reaction. It is a very benign process. It is all pure light, and it is indeed from God. It is the expression from God that gives rise to every star.
Oh, you're speaking the language. You're speaking the language of a lot of listeners on the show. The last couple months, I've had twice on the show Dr. Kathy Forty, who's done a book called Fractals of God.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets into this energetics of the quantum field and the fractal geometry of it, but refers to the same languaging, saying the same thing in different ways. And I'm very fascinated, you know, that you're able to follow up and go into it from your perspective with the language of scalar energy and how it is systemic. On all levels, and of course, you've been working with that, you know, with healing, with pathogens. But yeah, finish up your you're going into this more.
So God has appointed a certain geometry for all stars. Every star calls to mind a Platonic solid. At the very center of every star is a cube, and that is the Platonic solid that gives the geometry for scalar energy. So this is the simple design of the universe. God is the originator, the creator of scalar energy. A cube, I call it a sacred cube, a cube is the Platonic solid found at the center of every star, which serves to broadcast and to amplify scalar energy. And scalar energy then serves as the intelligence that will propagate throughout the universe, working its way through the medium of ether. Ether does indeed exist. Tesla postulated that. I agree with Tesla. Ether indeed is the medium of the universe. It is neutral. And by acting through the ether, then scalar energy can then convey, deliver its intelligence. Ether is the medium of the universe.
The fifth element in that movie, The Fifth Element, but there's, you know, the fire, air, water, and earth, and ether, you know, like the capstone.
Yes, yes. And it's a shame that modern-day man does not embrace scalar energy, does not realize that we have a universal medium, ether. And if you don't, then your understanding of the universe is curtailed. You'll never get it, frankly. And you'll never be able to make the progress that Nikola Tesla made.
The cosmic cube thing fascinates me. I talked about how astroacoustics, you know, there's a frequency or harmonic that different stars emanate, you know, unique to each star. But you're saying they all have there's a geometry, of course, fractals come out of geometry.
Right.
But there's a geometry of this cube, you know. And now, is it as a torus field, a cube within the torus field, or how does that work?
Well, the cube allows for this perfect geometry. Obviously, each side is equal in length. And I've observed that it in many ways will allow for four-way mixing. That's a scientific term to say that you can actually coalesce a scalar energy double helix wave inside a cube. I believe in the future we will be able to use these sacred cubes, if you will, to realize a more potent, a more amplified, and a more coalesced scalar energy waveform. Much like you use a laser to coalesce light, I believe this sacred cube will provide the geometry for scalar energy to coalesce, to really finally to be able to harness scalar energy from the universe. I think that will be expedient.
I'm glad you said that, because I have been tuning into, over many years, the ancient mysteries. I refer often to this concept of the cosmic cube as the most powerful thought form in the universe and the key to the ascension of the planet. Now, I've read this, and when I say ancient and modern mysteries, that metaphor of the cube, sometimes called the white cube, the sacred cube, the cosmic cube, is a metaphor used. Even the Christians, a lot of them refer to the New Jerusalem, you know, the four-sided,
yes,
the city four square, and mm-hmm. There was a lot of metaphors that referenced, you know, the two-dimensional aspects of the cube, from the Tibetan sand paintings to the Hopi Indian sand paintings that are mandalic, you know, mandalic with the four sides.
Yeah.
And the geometry of it, a two-dimensional reference of, you know, to it. But this concept of that there is this cosmic cube, sometimes referred to as, you know, the capstone, geometry that comes out of the pyramid. But there's an energy that is the most powerful thought form in the universe, key to ascension. I've heard this in different ways, and I've never heard it from the scientific perspective of scalar energy. And at the center of stars, that there's this when you, and again, you're talking about the geometry of energy.
Yeah.
It's not like a visual of a cube. Do you see it, or it's just a geometric energy field.
You've opened the discussion, so let me continue. Yes,
okay.
If you read in the Book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, the New Jerusalem is mentioned. It is a four-square, to use your term, and I'm going to quote that, and that's directly from the Bible. It's a four-square, mm-hmm. meaning what? Well, that sets up the configuration of a cube. And if you read carefully, heaven is a gold floor, the bottom is gold, and the walls are crystal. Well,
mm-hmm.
well, how is that? Well, gold is a natural projector, if you will, emanator of scalar energy, whereas crystal, the walls, are passive I've found through my studies any crystal quartz, that's what's being referred to.
Quartz
is a natural amplifier of scalar energy. So you have the ground floor, you have the gold foundation, which takes on the active role, and that symbolizes Christ. And then you have the crystal walls, or the quartz walls, and some people will refer to that as the emanation of grace, or some people will refer to that as the Blessed Virgin Mary, who assists in this heavenly design. Whatever your belief might be, it all, once again, relates to this sacred geometry. There is indeed sacred geometry. And again, people, everything God does is simple. So God is the creator of scalar energy. He uses this sacred cube to what? To serve as the means to broadcast scalar energy throughout the universe. Hence, every star in the universe, at its very center, has a sacred cube. And each cube has a gold floor with quartz crystal walls.
Interesting. That's really interesting. So it's like a resonance chamber
Now, we have seen that, and we realize that that can be realized by the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a scalar energy instrument.
I've heard that.
It has a certain geometry to it, and it was inlaid in gold.
Did it have any quartz in it?
Not that I know of. That's a good point.
But it was like an orgon. It was like an orgon energy accumulator of sorts.
Yes, it was. That's you hit the nail on the head. So we're not strange to this concept. The Ark of the Covenant that Moses and the Israelites had was a scalar energy instrument.
Yeah.
It broadcast scalar energy. And this is what gave the Israelites their superiority, their power over their enemies. Scalar energy will make man, if you will, king of the universe. The Ark of the Covenant had incredible powers.
Yeah, and when you say king of the universe, you're talking about KING, keys to the incarnation of God consciousness?
Yes.
Sovereignty in the terms of, you know, one with the Creator.
Yes. Now let's follow up on that, and I'll try and encapsulate it and then conclude. If all stars have this sacred cube inside, including our star of our universe, of our mm-hmm. solar system, I should say, the Sun, then we have a perfect scalar energy force field. And each star, hence inside the very center, is eternal. Hence, if you were to live in the center of any star, you would be eternal. You would never die. I should say you would be immortal. You would not die.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the perfect essence. That's what God is trying to tell us, that this electromagnetic force field that we live in is not ideal. We're subject to the vagaries of nature. To the contrary, if you live inside a star, specifically the Sun of our solar system, then you will possess immortal life. Once you're in a scalar energy force field, you have the ability to live forever. There is no disease or decay in a perfect scalar energy dimension. There is only perfection. You're incredibly intelligent, incredibly healthy, incredibly holy, incredibly happy. It is scalar energy that is the means that brings about this state of bliss, of heaven. Hence, scalar energy is the perfect force field. It is the steady state. It is the perpetual state. Scalar energy is a heaven-like energy. And the more you can possess that, and the more you can immerse yourself in scalar energy, the more heaven-like you will become.
Well, we're talking about the heaven in terms of a harmonic resonance with basically, you know, the fabric. I sometimes refer to it, the heart, you know, coherence is a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm, and the fabric of the universe, that from what I understand, it, you know, resonates with that. I mean, it's like coherence. When the heart is coherent, it is in that golden ratio algorithm. We're back to phi.
Yes.
And you know, phi and this, you know, basically, you know, a harmonic that goes back to the heart of every every sun, every, you know, star system. And, yeah. you know, if you go on the way in, you know, you're looking at every atom is like a miniature solar system with the sun nucleus, and it's just like as above, so below, you know, on all levels. And the center of every one of an atom and the center of a star, or like our sun, there's an intelligence at all levels. This is common throughout the mysteries east and west, where they talk about, you know, great cosmic beings incarnate, you know, in you know, as you evolve through different levels, and they inhabit, great cosmic beings inhabit the different stars, just like the astroacoustics. They have a different frequency, they have a different intelligence. There's different you know, it's like the great central sun of our galaxy is a huge, it's just a giant star that dwarfs, you know, our sun. And all the 250 billion suns and, you know, stars of our galaxy orbit around that great central sun, and it has incredible, extraordinary intelligence that is in resonance with, in sync with, and carrying levels of intelligence and levels of consciousness and energy, you know, carrier waves, that our science is just at a very primitive stage. You know, even of us talking about it today, I sometimes feel like, you know, we're just kind of scratching the surface of something that's just so deep and profound, and yet simple. Yes. But but there's a profoundness to it. You know, it's like the more complex things are, of course, the more we want to, you know, make it simple so we can understand it. But the more we simplify it, sometimes, you know, we lose the profundity of it, because it sounds so profane even to speak about, you know, the simpleness of it sometimes.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's the sign of great design, and any great design really has the hallmark of simplicity.
Yeah.
And if you really understand, let's say you understand a particular subject, you can explain it simply. I've heard that said so many times.
Yeah, the real masters,
the real masters can explain what they're doing, and in very simple and in very clear, lucid language. If you don't understand something, you're stumbling for examples, you're stumbling for an explanation, you don't grasp it. Well, God is infinitely wise. He really devised a very simple universe. There's no need for complexity. All creation is simple. Creation evolves in complexity, and over time, and as we have this interplay of variables, yes, it becomes, the permutations are astronomical. But at its core, the universe is simple.
Yeah, this is the fractal order of the holographic universe. It's just it breaks down to it's really, there's repeating patterns, common patterns, a common sense to the universe that we sometimes refer to as God. There's an intelligence there and a common sense that may be uncommon. But I think that, you know, ignoring it, you know, this thing of our relationship to God and in the creation as co-creators doesn't serve us well.
Yeah.
I think it's good to discuss it, tune into it, have some co-measurement to what this intelligence is and how we're a part of it and how we can, you know, co-create with it. So that's what you're doing. You're working with equipment, this technology, that you've developed over many years, and you've found that you can do what I consider two really interesting parallel things, like time forward and time back. You can disassemble or you can assemble, in the field.
Yes.
And you
yes.
can disassemble specific frequencies, from what I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong. Specific frequencies that. Disassemble fungus, bacteria, viruses, prions, you know, microorganisms, or you can assemble with other scalar frequencies. And I don't know if there's a parallel to backward and forward in time in this, but the assembling and disassembling, I know it's different switching of the energies, that you can assemble different vitamins, minerals, and nutrients in the body to basically, for better assimilation in the cells of the body of nutrients. Now, I've heard of this technology being utilized by different equipment over the years, so I know that this isn't woo-woo. You know, I know you're speaking the language I've heard before, and I know you've had an incredible track record over the years, and I've been hearing about that. So could you go into the science, how this works with the disassembly with the and this, sure. Well, I understand you're disrupting the frequencies, specific frequencies of pathogens, microbial, yep. pathogens in the body, that and Royal Raymond Rife was doing that back in the 30s.
Yes, yes. Once again, yeah. Everything with scalar energy is simple. Why? Because I firmly believe scalar energy is a direct manifestation, a direct emanation from God. Hence, it's a pure energy. It's capable of an infinite number of instructions or harmonics, as I call it. Well, with that, I'm able to either assemble matter or disassemble matter. Now, how does that work? Well, scalar energy, likewise, it has, you could call it, two polarities or two characteristics. Scalar energy can be expansive. It could break apart or disassemble matter, or scalar energy could be contractive. It could assemble matter. Well, I've used this energy to disassemble germs, pathogens such as viruses, bacteria, fungi. And in so doing, scalar energy allows me to find my way right into the molecular bond, into the atomic bond of any physical matter. My contention is this, and I've proven this many times with my scalar energy instruments, working in a reverse phase angle, I'm able to disassemble germs, again, pathogens such as bacteria, fungi, viruses. Mm-hmm. How does that work? Well, I simply instruct a specific pathogen to bring about a state of chaos, or I call it the reverse phase angle. Some people might call it the unbinding energy.
Okay.
If everything has a geometry, an order about it, what I am introducing into a germ, a pathogen, is the reverse. It is the reverse phase angle, or it is a confusion, if you will, or maybe more appropriately, I am simply disrupting the geometry. Hence, I can break down, I can nullify molecular and atomic bonds. And when I do that, the germ ceases to exist. If you remember from high school and college, people, everything has a structural formula to it. And if you could look on a blackboard, you can see a carbon and an oxygen are united together, and there's bonds, phosphorus, magnesium, etc. Elements make up those bonds, those chemical bonds. Well, if we break apart a chemical bond, the bond is now disrupted. There is no more geometry to it, and it is reduced into elements. Well, that, frankly, is what I do. I take a germ, and I simply reduce it back to its building block components, which is carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus, manganese, etc. It's that simple.
And the way you target a germ versus other cells in the body is because there's a specific signature, energy signature, to the germ, which you use with photographs, and that basically tunes in the quantum space of the body.
Yes.
There is no time or space, you know.
Yes.
But you know, it tunes into that, and this is different from what Royal Raymond Rife was doing. He was using electromagnetic frequencies, from what I understand, to disrupt the cells.
Yeah.
He wasn't using scalar frequencies.
That's what I understand. You're right. I don't think Royal Rife was using scalar energy. Hence, Dr. Rife was using some type of electromagnetic energy, which is a frequency. Now, to the contrary. Yeah,
and,
to the
and
contrary,
a,
scalar
yeah.
energy is not a frequency. Scalar energy is non-Hertzian.
It's not
nonlinear,
yeah. And this is it, that's difficult for to understand the nonlinear thing, because we're so linear, left brain letter of the law, you know, the nonlinear concept of what that means, nonlinear, and non-Hertzian. It's quantum. This is quantum science. This isn't electromagnetics. This isn't the mechanical, electromechanical model that is the paradigm that we get in our education system. We don't get the nonlinear perception model. We don't get to, unless people are taking psychedelics, they don't get that understanding of reality, the nonlinear concept. And the science of this, I follow it long enough to know that this is, of course, this is the natural evolution of global humanity, is to this understanding of quantum science and nonlinear, no time or space. I mean, it, you know, the way you can work on a person right in front of you, or have the frequency signature of the pathogens in that person, and work on them, you know, halfway around the world. It doesn't make any difference. This is what I understand you're doing, and this is what I how it works. And I've known this for some time. This science is coming. I think we're just on the cusp of it, just like we're on the cusp of an Aquarian age, which I'd like to think is the golden age, you know, where we're more co-creators with, yeah, with creator, you know, using the science, you know, where, you know, this becomes more common sense.
Yeah.
So you're working with this this frequency technology. And the frequency is nonlinear. It's not Hertzian. It's not like a frequency like electromechanical, or you don't even call scalar energy a frequency, do you?
I don't. I don't use the term, because it just you paint yourself into a corner.
That commingles it. Yeah, that is a contradiction in terms.
So let me explain to the audience what I'm doing in practice now. Again, people, I am a result-driven researcher. I don't believe in theory all the time. You have to put something in practice. You can talk all you want, but eventually you have to start proving. How do I prove what I'm doing? I have scalar energy instruments. I have approximately 30 scalar energy instruments. It really is a montage, if you will, of different types of scalar energy instruments, and they work. And they do indeed control and harness scalar energy. Well, in practice, again, if I wanted to disintegrate, if you will, say Mycobacterium tuberculosis. That's the cause of TB, tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
That bacterium, I would actually take a photograph of Mycobacterium tuberculosis and place that inside my scalar energy instrument. My instrument then would pick up the energy from that photograph and then would serve to broadcast the reverse phase angle into a person.
It's all energy.
It's all information. I never have to touch a person. So this broadcast of energy, in specific, the reverse phase angle or the disintegrating angle or the expansive essence, or I should say perhaps the centrifugal essence, broadcast into a person would serve to break down the molecular and atomic bonds of Mycobacterium tuberculosis, and hence that germ, that bacterium, would break apart, would disassemble, and would no longer exist.
So the picture is actually like an energy signature, just like Africans wouldn't let people take their picture because the picture, they said, had their soul.
That's correct. and they were right.
They were right.
Every photograph is a scalar energy force field.
Your light
is on a photograph. Well, what is that photograph? In terms of scalar energy, that is your scalar energy signature. That has scalar energy potential. That is you, just as unique as your DNA. So when I treat people with scalar energy, all I need is their photograph.
Tom, you know, we're just getting started, and we're starting to wind up. I'm going to have you back again.
Okay.
This is really fascinating. I've got information up where people can go to your website, you know, on the webpage. But this concept, this understanding, what you're doing and how you're doing it, I've put, you know, some teasers up on the website on Cosmic Love, and it'll be in the archives. But we need to do this again. I'm really appreciated you being on the show. This has been really fascinating.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's
a lot of
fascinating
fun.
People.
This
is going to change the world. Mark
I
my
really
word,
believe this.
Scalar energy will change the world for the better, people.
So I see that what you're doing, people can contact you in regard to more information, your websites, and your show Monday night at 9 p.m. Is that Eastern, you say?
That Eastern time, yes, sir.
That's Eastern time. All right. So, Tom, thank you so much for being with us on Cosmic Love today. I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
And let's do this again if we can here soon.
I want to. please. The sooner
okay,
the better.
Okay, we'll do it. I'm really grateful for so much you've shared that resonates with what my understanding is. This is where it's going. This technology works. You know, it's been working. You've worked with tens of thousands of people over the years, from what I understand. And it is so efficacious beyond individual. The way it can work with healing, you know, on a scale that really the world needs as never before. And I really believe things could turn around pretty fast. And in many regards, I see it happening in a lot of regards. This is one of those fields that I see it turning around really fast.
You're right.
Healthcare.
You're right.
For the betterment of mankind.
For the betterment of mankind. Well, I certainly can't think of anything better to do. It, you know, really flips my switch to get this understanding. I've had different authors, and, teachers, doctors on the show the last several years that have touched on this. But you're doing the stuff where the rubber meets the road, you know, this quantum stuff.
It's really cool.
It's really wonderful to hear from you, Tom.
Thank you.
So we'll do this again, and I want to thank everyone for listening. Till we meet again, happy trails, keep the faith, and let's make it happen. So God bless you, everyone. Bless you, Tom. We'll see you all soon.